Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care, all the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. You can find them online at allthebestpetcare.com. The Dog Show is also brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. We have a double whammy show today. In the booth with us now is Robert Pregelman, who's the owner of Seattle Dog Spot. Welcome to the Dog Show, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And in the second half of the show, we'll be talking with Wendy Spencer, who's the animal curator at Wolf Haven International, which is a wolf refuge in Tenino, Washington, so a little bit south. But now we are going to be talking with Robert about the relatively new website, SeattleDogSpot.com, which is a resource for Seattle area, greater Seattle area dog owners and dog lovers that is a one-stop shop. So, Robert, tell us a bit about, you know, this website is unique in that it's not focusing on one specific thing. You're really trying to have all the different aspects or ways that a dog owner would want to either engage or be supported all in one website, and it's SeattleDogSpot.com. And it's everything from professional listings to reviews to events, your dog blog, all sorts of great stuff on here. Photos of local dogs, questions. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what had you start this.
Well, I've lived in Seattle about 12 years now. And when I moved here, I worked for an environmental group. And after leaving that and trying a couple of other things, I decided to do something that I really cared about, which was working with dogs or around dogs somehow. Mm-hmm. And through my own experience, I found that a lot of information about dogs in and around Seattle, even though people in Seattle are pretty dog crazy, as it's been well documented, there was no one place where I could go to get information. If I wanted to look up a vet, you could go through Google, or sometimes Yelp would have it, sometimes it wouldn't. If you were looking to wear a specific dog park or where all the dog parks are, you may or may not find all of them. Looking for trainers, dog walkers, all that stuff, or even a calendar of events that are happening that are dog related, there was just no one place where people could go to get all that information. So the idea was just to provide a one-stop place where people could get all the information they needed. Mm-hmm. And the cornerstone of the site is the listings of dog services. There's about 1,200 listings throughout the Puget Sound area from about Everett down to Tacoma and Kitsap over to the east side. Mm-hmm. And
these are listings of professionals offering mm-hmm. some sort of pet-related service or
right.
business, yeah.
There's vets, dog walkers, dog sitters. There's holistic veterinarians,
yeah.
People that offer dog massage. It's all over the board.
Yeah.
And people can look them up. They can look them up by area code, so they can find them in their neighborhood. They can look them up by rating to see which ones rate the highest. And it's, I think, a great resource for dog owners.
Yeah. And you started out, you've been blogging for a few years now, a dog-related mm-hmm. blog. And that's sort of was what the website started out as, and then it just blew up into this really fully functional resource for people. And it's got a lot to it. I mean, the thing that really struck me as I was looking through it, and again, it's SeattleDogSpot.com, is what an undertaking this is for you, because having been plugged into the dog industry in this area for about 10 years now myself, and then 3 years on the air with the show, I mean, it's like, this area is fertile. I mean, it's rich with, you know, events, groups, special interest groups. I mean, you can do anything you can imagine that you can do with your dog. There's a group doing it mm-hmm. fairly close by. Herding, nose work, you know, I mean, whatever. You name it, it's within driving distance of Seattle.
Right.
And then there's all the professionals and, you know, and working with my clients and training and behavior through my company, Sensitive Dog. I have people ask me all the time for, you know, pet sitter, who do you recommend, or vet, or dog walker, you know, all of these different things. And, you know, I have a handful of recommendations, but some of them are very neighborhood specific, especially like the dog walkers, or people want a vet that's kind of close to them, you know.
Right.
And the part of the website, I think, that is so, so specially valuable is that people can write reviews, because listings of places, you know, it's helpful, but really, to have those reviews and to hear what people who have used those services before say about what kind of care they provided their dog, and, you know, did they have a good experience, or did they have a not so good experience, or a horrible experience? I mean, I think those ones are almost the most important ones.
Right. And we do have, we have several good reviews. We have some bad reviews. And it's really in a business's best interest to encourage their customers to do reviews, because not only is it free publicity on the website, but also when people are doing searches, the more highly rated web or the highly rated businesses will be listed first if they search for sites that way. So it is important. And the idea is it is for the site to be a community of people that are helping each other and providing information. It's not just me throwing information on a website. I want people to be able to participate, and doing reviews is an important way to do it.
Yeah. And especially, too, because the dog industry is unique in the sense that there's a most of the, you know, of course, aside from veterinarian, there's not a, you know, standard. I mean, even in my profession, dog training and behavior, you know, anybody can make a card and say, I'm a dog trainer, and there's not a set course that you have to go through, or a, you know, test or special licensing that you have to take. And
right.
So, you know, and the same with dog walkers and pet sitters and stuff like that. So, you know, you don't know what you're getting, or what, you know, how qualified is this person? And so the word of mouth aspect, I mean, that's where I get all of my business, is word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So important, I think, especially in the dog industry. And these are, we're talking about entrusting, like if we go away on vacation, this person has the care, they are responsible for the well-being of my animal.
Right.
I don't have children, so my animals, and even if I had children, you know, my pets, like, there's nothing I'm more protective over. So if somebody messed up with one of my dogs and they got, you know, hurt due to negligence or mistreated or whatever, I'd be real upset.
Right. Right.
I'd be writing about it, that's for sure. So that's such a great aspect. And you have, I know for me with this radio show, I'm excited about the dogs in the news aspect of it and the blog. And you have a newsletter that people can sign up for. There's a little box in the top right corner of the website, and it's seattledogspot.com, where you can sign up and get the newsletter. And you cover heavily local news, local dog-related news. In that way. And so for me with this radio show, I'm excited about that.
Well, there's a lot of local stories that people may not know about. Just a couple of days ago, there was a dog that had been hiking with its person up north of here, and it was stranded on a 250-foot ledge.
Ugh.
And there were rescue groups came out to try to help the dog. They couldn't get it. It was stranded overnight. They ended up getting it on Monday and everything was fine. But there's stories like that, some good, some bad, all over. And it's just, some are just interest stories that people want to read, and others are important stories that they really should know.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned one, that I think was recent, about a raccoon in West Seattle that had distemper, and how that's important information for dog owners to know that that's, you know, around, especially puppies.
Right.
That aren't vaccinated. But then also, like you said, sort of opened up a conversation about, well, what is distemper and mm-hmm. what do you need to do and all that type of thing. So you also have a place where people can, now, do people post pictures or do they send you pictures of their own dogs?
You can post them on our Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
And some people have sent them in. We had a really great few pictures when the big snow happened in January. I asked people to send pictures of their dogs in the snow, and we got, you know, 10 or 20 really nice pictures of dogs playing in the snow around Western Washington.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another fun way that people can get involved.
So, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and talk more with Robert Pregelman, who's the owner of Seattle Dog Spot. And that's a website, online resource, sort of all-inclusive resource for Seattle area dog lovers and dog owners. And that's seattledogspot.com. Check out the website. It's great. We'll be back in just a few minutes with The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
All the pay I need comes a shining through his eyes. I don't need no cold water to make me realize that I love my dog as much as I do.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that is fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you are a Dog Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, April 15th, it's a Kevin and Kim Sunday. Always entertaining, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will host the show for me. They'll have open phone lines throughout the show. Kim can help you speak with your loved ones, animal or human, on the other side. She can also help you with your current animal friends or general psychic questions. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Going against the grain has never been so much fun. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Through his eyes, I don't need no cold water to make me realize that I love my dog.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back talking with Robert Pregelman, who's the owner of SeattleDogSpot.com. You're a one-stop website for everything you would possibly need to know as a dog lover, dog owner in the greater Seattle area. Listings of professionals, all different types of professionals, veterinarians, dog walkers, dog massagers, you know, you name it. And also a great blog, news postings, with a focus, a heavy focus on local news. You can sign up for their newsletter as well. And there's a sign-up box right at the top of the website where you can just enter in your email address and sign up for the newsletter. And that's seattledogspot.com. So we were talking a bit about the different aspects of your website, and you said that the anchor of the site really is the listing for professionals, and not only the listings, but we talked a lot about the value of the reviews. Mm-hmm. And you actually have a sort of fundraising promotional effort for reviews that SeattleDogSpot.com will donate $1 per review written to Positive Alliance. So the dollar will go to Positive Alliance. It's not reviews just written for Positive Alliance. Positive Alliance is a, they organize a monthly adoption events all over the area, and they sort of coordinate with local rescue groups. And so more of an incentive for you to go to the website, SeattleDogSpot.com, and scroll through the businesses and listings that are posted. And, you know, if you see one that you have had experience with, good or bad, to really, you know, encourage you to write a review, because it adds so much value. It helps others who will come after you who are looking for that service. And then you'll also get a donation for Positive Alliance, which is awesome too.
Yeah, they're a great group.
Yeah. So now also, if you are listening and you're a business owner or a service provider, and you would like to have a list to have your business posted, to also get in touch with Robert as well, or anything really to contribute to the site. Robert, you mentioned, you know, local events. If there's groups or any sort of group or charity or anything that's going on, dog-related events, especially as summertime is approaching, it is event season, that's for sure, to get in touch with you. And how do people do that?
Through the contact button on the site, you can send us the name of a business. You can send us a correction for a listing. You can also do a review. Just about anything can go through that. It's fairly easy. It comes right to me, and I make the correction or do whatever I need to do.
Mm-hmm. And you can also find them on Facebook under Seattle Dog Spot, and Dog Spot is one word. And that will get you to them as well. And you can enjoy the website through their Facebook page as well in the conversation. And, you know, you've got a lot of interesting topics posted here. You know, news, local events, even dogs that are up for adoption. But you also had, I think, was it today that you posted that question about dog walkers?
Yeah, well, I was walking our dogs over at the Magnuson off-leash area, and I saw a couple of obvious professional dog walkers. They each had about 7 or 8 dogs with them apiece, and they just let them out of their vans with no leashes on and kind of herded them towards the entrance and got them in that way. And I thought that looked awfully wrong, because it wouldn't take much for one of them to break off the pack and go running, and the whole pack follows them somewhere, or one of them could get in a fight with another dog from somebody else that's going into the park. But that was my personal opinion. I wasn't really sure if that was standard practice for dog walkers or not. And so I posed the question on the Facebook page and immediately got dozens of responses. And I haven't looked at it since I came over here, but all the responses were saying that the dog walkers were really irresponsible and they shouldn't have done that. So the Facebook page is where we can get really good conversations going about various issues. And that was one in particular that that happened today that I thought got some really good responses from people, very passionate responses.
Yeah, this is pretty much, I'm on the Facebook page right now, and you can find it under Seattle Dog Spot, and type in Dog Spot as one word. And I think it looks like everybody is pretty much like, I would never, or, you know, then that sort of opens up another conversation about dog parks in general.
Right.
And, you know, I know for me, from my perspective as a professional, I'm not a dog walker, but when I'm working, I mean, I work with clients' dogs, and regularly when I'm doing intensive training programs, you know, oftentimes I'm working with the dog without the client.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do, you know, we certainly do lessons together. I'm always working with the people too, but I never, never take the dogs off leash. I don't care how much, how 100% sure I am that nothing right. would have, you never know. And what I do know for sure is that I'm not willing to risk that, even if it's like a, you know, 0.01% chance that something, I mean, it's just not going to happen on my watch, period.
Yeah, we don't even do that with our own dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, we would never take them to the entrance of a dog park with no leash on. That's
yeah. So just sort of a question of, it is sort of a different question whether, you know, because people do that all the time and, you know, that's sort of a different, there's a different element to it when you're asking, when you're talking about a professional who is entrusted with somebody else's dog, because mm-hmm. then you're putting someone else's dog at risk too. So, so there's all stuff like that, conversations like that, really, really, fun to engage with and hear what other dog lovers like to, you know, have to say about that. So, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Robert Pregelman, who's the owner of SeattleDogSpot.com. And it's, the intention is to be the spot Seattle dog owners can go to for everything dog in the Seattle area. So when you say Seattle area, what do you mean like mostly metropolitan or kind of like Western Washington?
It's mostly, well, it does cover a fair amount of Western Washington. We go up as far as Everett down to Tacoma and the Kitsap Peninsula over to the east side, just up to the mountains. That's pretty much the area that we cover.
Mm-hmm. So all sorts of different features of this website. Definitely check it out. It's great. SeattleDogSpot.com. Listings for professionals. Again, they're offering a sort of fundraising promotion right now where SeattleDogSpot.com will donate $1 per review written. And how long is that going on?
That's through the end of this month.
Okay, so plenty of time through the end of April. They'll make a $1 donation per review written, and the donation goes to Positive Alliance, which is an organization that coordinates adoption events with multiple local rescue groups. And so go check out, look through the listings for professionals. If you see your vet or if you see a former vet, and the reason why they're former is because you had a bad experience, or a former dog walker or former pet sitter or your current who you love, write your review. That there is so much value to you sharing your experience with professionals in the area so that you can share that with other people. And it earns Positive Alliance a $1 donation.
Now, I just have two other quick things to add. We yeah. also have an Ask the Vet column. We have three or four general vets and one oncology vet who answer questions from the reader, so they can send in questions to me through the website, and we'll get those questions answered. And we also have a lost dog section. So if somebody has a lost dog and they let us know, we've been posting it in that section as well.
Mm-hmm. You can find them on Facebook and Twitter as well. Seattle Dog Spot. If you do Dog Spot as one word, it'll be easy to find on Facebook. And what's your Twitter? Seattle Dog Spot.
Seattle Dog Spot, right?
Yeah, yeah, that works out. And the dog show is also on Facebook and Twitter as well, so you can find us there too. And again, to also encourage people to get in touch with you, and they can fill out a contact form on your website. If you are a local professional or organization and you would like to have your event or your business posted on SeattleDogSpot.com, then you can get in touch with Robert and let him know that you're out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And open yourself up to reviews that way as well. One of the things, I know you mentioned that you're going to be doing potentially moving forward. Well, tell us about, you know, there's so much on the site now, but where do you plan to, you know, take it from here? Because you've been live since February, right?
Yes, we've been live for about a month. We want to add more resources that people can use to meet up with other dog walkers or dog owners. believe it or not, there's dozens of meetup groups for specific breeds of dogs.
I believe that.
Yeah, so we want to start listing them. We'd like to have a section where people can list their favorite walks around town or wherever they happen to live.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to expand the lost dog resource so that it's not just listings of lost dogs, but it also provides several different services that help people find lost pets.
Mm-hmm.
So that if they do lose a dog, all the information is there for them to hopefully find it.
Yeah, well, that's great. And like I said, I mean, I was telling you, Robert, that what struck me when I was looking through your website was just really what a huge undertaking this is.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is so much, I mean, there's just so much out there, so much to talk about, so many services, so many social things that people can do, fun mm-hmm. events, fundraisers, all that type of thing in this area. And to really try to house that in one place rather than people going one place to find a dog walker, one place to find a veterinarian, one place to go for news.
Mm-hmm.
Or to, like, I know for me, as I'm looking for current news for dog-related, I'm sifting through the general news and looking for dog stories.
Right.
So to have it be all dog is great. And definitely encourage you to check out the website at seattledogspot.com. You can find them on Facebook and Twitter as well. And that as you are looking through the website, please do post a review if you see a business or service that you have used. And to be sure to fill out the little box at the top of the website and sign up for their newsletter as well, so that then you get all that information automatically. Well, I see definitely see you back on the show soon, Robert.
Great, I hope so.
We have a sort of a common thread here. So I'm just thrilled to meet you and thrilled that this exists. I think it's a great resource for this area. And I don't know that there's an area in the country that's more dog crazy than Seattle. But
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a great idea, yeah. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. Again, that's seattledogspot.com. Definitely check it out. Sign up for their newsletter, write reviews, and enjoy that website. It's great. We're going to be back in just a few minutes talking with Wendy Spencer, who's the animal curator at Wolf Haven International. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
Family-owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit DrDon'sAutomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Joan Serena, creator of Therapy Corner Store, servicing your animal needs through therapeutic music, massage, aromatherapy, and workshops. Helping people connect with their dogs and promote healing through touch and music with her instructional CD, Therapeutic Music with Canine Massage. Go to joansorita.com, that's joansorita.com, to order your therapeutic music with canine massage today. Or call 425-877-4824. That's 425-877-4824. joansorita.com. Therapeutic music, aromas, and massage for your dog.
Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. We are back now talking with Wendy Spencer, who's the animal curator at Wolfhaven International. Welcome back to the show, Wendy.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, but we've talked with Wolfhaven, I think, a couple times, and you once on the show over the past few years. And Darcy and I have been out to visit your site and to see the wolves. And I recently got some information in the mail about some damage that happened to a large majority of the enclosures there. So I wanted to have you guys back on the show and tell us a bit about the work that you do at Wolfhaven, and then to ask listeners to support you guys through donation to repair that damage. So tell us a bit about Wolfhaven International and the work that you do there.
So we are primarily a sanctuary, and we're actually celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. So we've been around for quite a while. And one of the most important aspects of Wolfhaven is the rescue work that we do. Mm-hmm. We focus on rescuing captive-born wolves. People will often get them as pets, and they'll get them as puppies and realize that it doesn't, it's not a good idea. And we often we'll rescue those animals and provide lifetime sanctuary. We will often take animals from other facilities like a zoo or a wildlife park. We will sometimes take animals from other facilities that if perhaps they're having some social issues with mm-hmm. their existing group, or if they have animals who need a retirement home, we actually provide a good quiet space for that. So we do a lot of rescue. We are also involved in two federal programs, one of which is the Mexican Wolf Captive Breeding and Recovery Program. And we're also involved in the Red Wolf Captive Breeding Program. And these are federal programs that are, they are run cooperatively with the AZA and non-AZA participants, and mm-hmm. so we serve as a temporary home for these animals. We do also have Mexican gray wolves who have gone out into the wild. We've actually had two family groups go out over the years, so that's another really, really important part of what we do here at Wolfhaven. We are heavily involved in the conservation arena, which is particularly important now as wolves return to our state. So we do a lot in that respect, and certainly education. And in order for us to achieve our mission of working for wolf conservation, education is paramount. So we, we have school groups that come to us on a regular basis. In fact, this month, April, we are booked solid. So we have, kids come on a almost daily basis. We are, we have a strong presence in the community, not only in the local schools, but at libraries and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and mm-hmm. Rotary and chamber meetings and things like that. So we're very active in the community as well.
Well, let's talk about education just to bring up some main points. First of all, is it a good idea, Wendy, to have a wolf as a pet?
It is not a good idea to have a wolf as a pet.
Is it?
Contrary to what a lot of people think, and I certainly won't dispute the fact that there is nothing more beautiful than a wolf, nothing cuter than a wolf pup, but they are just not they're hardwired so very differently from our dogs.
They're wild.
Pretty much. You know, I mean, you can work really hard to socialize them, even a lot of our animals are really well socialized to people, but in essence, they are still a wild animal, and they're going to behave like a wild animal, and so a lot of the behaviors that they display are not behaviors that we find suitable in our pets.
Right, right. What about wolf hybrids, so wolf-dog hybrids?
Well, here's the thing with wolf dogs, and we struggle a lot with this. We get, you know, I am contacted. In fact, I'm dealing with a couple of dogs that are at local shelters right now. But with wolf dogs, because they are so genetically uncertain, you never know how much wolf or how much dog you're going to get. So there's no predictability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with, I have border collies, and with border collies, I pretty much know what I'm getting.
Right.
You know, with a lab, you pretty much know what you're getting. But with a wolf dog, there's just no way to know. So you could have I've met some really, really nice wolf dogs, and mm-hmm. I've met some others who certainly do not belong in the home. The majority mm-hmm. of them do not belong in the home.
Yeah.
The ones that are really low to no to low content, you know, they're often very nice dogs. They look like a dog. They act like a dog. You wouldn't even know that they have wolf in them. But when you start getting up into your mids and your high content animals, they display many of the same behaviors that a pure wolf would display.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just not suitable. And the problem is the unpredictability. They can be mm-hmm. fine 1 minute and mm-hmm. The next you could have a serious problem.
Yeah. So. Do you find that it seems to me, and I don't know if this is an accurate description of the animal's experience, literally, but it seems to me that you're sort of like torn between two worlds, you know, like, it would be hard to be one that is maybe higher content or mm-hmm. that does have a hard time and does not act like a pet dog, does not act like a domesticated animal, but that unpredictability where they're, you know, one minute they're feeling like the dog and then the next minute the wolf is coming out, and it feels like it would be hard to be that animal.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, in fact, actually, about being, and we say the exact same thing. They're basically torn between two worlds, and, it's so unfair to these animals,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we put them in situations, and we expect them to behave like a dog, but they are, again, just not hardwired for that type of an environment, and so, when we deal with our dogs look to us, you know how dogs look to us for, they cue off of us and they read so much of what we do and they look to us for cues. Whereas your wolf dogs, particularly your higher content dogs, they don't. They pretty much, it's been bred into them basically for, they have to exist in survival mode and they don't survive we don't provide survival for them. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so they don't look to us for that.
Right.
You know, they have to basically look out for themselves. And
mm-hmm.
so they don't really need us.
Right.
They obviously need us for food if we are the ones taking care of them. But other than that, they don't really need anything from us. So
mm-hmm.
They're going to behave very differently than our dog.
Yeah. Well, we visited a little while ago. I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago. And Darcy and I came down and it was during a time when the facility wasn't open to the public. And we had, I think that the sound that's on your website is actually the sound that we captured when we were there. All the wolves started howling when we got there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It was like, I mean, there's a sound that just sort of, I don't know, like where you can feel it in throughout your whole body. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is like a magical sound. They just all started up and we were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I think I was doing a video with Kim, who was taking us through the tour, and one of them started and then a few more chimed in. And then before we knew it, we had the whole place singing, and then we could hear the coyotes yiping in the back too.
It's so powerful to be in the sanctuary and to hear this, 51 animals, all, 360 chorus all around.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here for over 14 years, and I still get goosebumps when I hear it. Yeah. It doesn't get old. There are no words to describe.
Yeah. What do the border collies think of the, I mean, they're probably used to it now, but are dogs, when the wolves start up, have you ever seen a reaction from a dog that's not used to it?
Yeah, well, for my dogs, I live here on site, so I have my dogs. I have three dogs here. One of my coworkers also lives on site, and he has dogs. And so the wolves will get going. Our dogs will get going. We have wild coyotes out in the Oak Grove just beyond our property, and they'll all get going. So there's this, again, this 360-degree canine chorus. So, but for dogs, you know, a lot of our visitors will unknowingly bring their pets with them, and the dogs will be in the vehicles, and they'll hear the wolves, and a lot of times they'll bark, or they'll join in, or
I know my dogs react when I think there was a time when there was a wolf howl on the town a television show or something like that, and they were kind of like, what's that? You know, more so than any other sound.
Yeah, well, my guys will try to howl with, but it doesn't sound nearly as beautiful as the wolves, but they give it their best shot.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Everyone should be allowed to sing, right?
Exactly.
Even the ones that don't have the best voices.
I know, that's why I do it in the sanctuary when nobody's around.
So what prompted me to get in touch with you guys was because of a brochure that I just recently got in the mail that told me about the damage that you guys suffered this winter. You guys had a storm that it said out of 27 enclosures, 24 were seriously damaged. It's almost all of them.
Pretty much. You know, we were just pummeled in that ice storm. And I know for folks up north, a lot of people weren't aware that the damage was so severe down here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, again, I've been here for a long time, and it was definitely the worst weather event that I've experienced.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about what you guys are going through now to recover from that, and what listeners can do to help support you guys in your recovery. So we're talking with Wendy Spencer, who's the animal curator at Wolf Haven International, and you're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com. This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's litter box and food bowls. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Show discount. Invisible Fence, for the life of your pet.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we're back with Wendy Spencer, who is the animal curator for Wolf Haven International down in Tenino, Washington. Welcome back, Wendy.
Thank you.
You can find Wolf Haven online at wolfhaven.org. Easy to find, and they're also on Facebook. So we were talking in the last segment about Wolf Haven and the work that you do, and lots of rescue and some conservation aspects and lots of education. And then, you know, what I want to talk about now is the, you know, the reason for the timing of this interview is because of the brochure that I got in the mail from Wolf Haven about the damage that you suffered this winter from the ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
And to let listeners know about that so that people can help support you guys in rebuilding and recovering. It caused more than $50,000 in damage, and 24 out of the 27 enclosures were damaged. And so talk to us a little bit about when you're walking through, there's a picture of you in this brochure where you're just sort of standing and there's snow and there's just, you're just surrounded by limbs, tree limbs.
Yeah. You know, because you've been here, you sort of know the lay of the land. And so we are in a pretty heavily wooded area, and we have huge Doug firs, and we have, you know, oak trees that have stood for decades. And so, which is beautiful and wonderful, except when we have a catastrophic ice storm.
Right.
And so we had, you know, these oak trees, like I said, that have stood for decades that were just split two and three ways and,
wow,
you know, just came down on fencing and, you know, the access roads and these huge Doug fir limbs that were like giant spheres, you know, would just, you know, you'd be standing in the sanctuary and it sounded almost like gunfire. You know, it was every few seconds something was snapping or breaking, and you could see it coming down, but you weren't sure where it was going to land, and you're just praying that it wasn't going to land on an animal.
Right, and nobody got hurt directly from?
Not directly from.
Okay.
We were so fortunate, you know, and these guys, you know, obviously during the storm, you know, I don't know for sure, but just the way that they were behaving, they were really, really scared, and they were just ripping around their enclosures, and really they were just dodging these limbs and trees that were coming down, and that was their existence for like 2 days.
Wow.
And so, you know, fortunately they were able to stay out of harm's way. We did have an animal, an older guy, a 15-year-old, that had passed away a couple of days later, and whether it was just the stress of the storm, we're not sure. There was no trauma to his body, so you know, I don't know if it was storm related or not, but again, no one was injured as a result of stuff falling on them, which when you see the enclosures and you see the damage, it's really, really remarkable.
Yeah.
So, we were really fortunate, so but the devastation, you know, in some of those pictures, the snow makes everything look beautiful. And once the snow had melted, it was easier for us to get a better picture of just how widespread the damage was. And you had limbs and whole, you know, these giant trees down on fences. And, you know, we had animals obviously inside the enclosures. And so, you know, we had to coordinate with our tree guys and our fencing company and at the same time be mindful of the animals inside the enclosure. So it was quite challenging. It took us, and we had to work in triage mode. We had to figure out, you know, which enclosures had suffered the most damage and obviously work our way through the sanctuary. So, and we're still working, but we're definitely making headway.
Mm-hmm. How can people help support you guys in rebuilding after this?
You know, I would say that the if people want to support us, the best way would be through monetary contributions.
Mm-hmm.
There has been an overwhelming outpouring from the community, and we would not have survived had it not been for the donations and the public support that we have so far received.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've received donations. We have received gifts in kind. We've had several large groups come out and actually volunteer their services. We had a local rugby club come out with, they came for a weekend and had like 70 folks who came out and just hauled debris and brush. And
I bet rugby players are good at hauling.
they were just awesome. But a few weeks ago, we actually had Home Depot. They had over 70 volunteers. And they came out and they built fences and spread gravel and built new shelters that had been, damaged in the storm, and hauled brush and chipped up brush. You wouldn't believe the piles and piles of brush that we have. That was extremely helpful. But, you know, if somebody doesn't want to do a monetary gift, then perhaps like a gift cards are always helpful. Like Home Depot gift cards are super helpful. And volunteers. We always need volunteers. So those would probably be the primary ways that folks could help.
Yeah.
And just spreading the word, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing, too, is like, you know, donations are, there's so many different organizations that, you know, I know as an individual get approached all the time with donations. And there's so many worthy organizations. And
absolutely.
I think that the thing that I know for me to remember, and that for people to remember too, is that, you know, you don't have to make a, you know, huge donation that's going to be uncomfortable for you. And I think a great idea is to actually, you know, what if you just reach out to your community and everybody pitches in $5, and then before you know it, you've got a $100 donation.
That's a great way to do it. And we actually had a school, I think she's a 9-year-old girl. She raised $400 and turned it into us in coin, but she had gone out and she had done this fundraiser all on her own.
Yeah.
And so again, I mean, that's a great idea. It doesn't have to be a huge, substantial donation. Every little bit helps, you know. I mean, we have folks who donate a couple of dollars, $5, $20, anything helps us.
Yeah.
So being a small nonprofit like we are, something, an event like this can be devastating, you know, and some, you know, we're fortunate. We'll pull through, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of power in community and power in numbers. And, you know, if you're listening and you want to help out and you can only donate $5, do it. And, you know, I think a powerful thing as well, like we just talked about, is to reach out to your circles and your community and, you know, just gather some pocket change or, you know, your daily coffee money or whatever that is. And that'll all add up and will really make a difference. So how far, you know, how have you gotten everything mostly cleaned up and most of the repairs done, or do you still have quite a bit of work to do?
We have, I would say we're about 3/4 of the way there. We still have several enclosures. Again, because we were in triage mode, we now have our pre-release, our Mexican gray wolf pre-release area that we are focusing on. And there, we actually had the tree guys out last Monday, and they'll be back again next Monday. And that's probably our biggest expense is getting, because you have folks, they have to be up in the trees climbing and, cutting stuff up and chipping it up. And so they're there, you know, all day for several days at a time. So, so we still have a few days to go with our tree guys. And then, of course, the fencing company will come in behind that. And then there's a lot of debris that's just down in the sanctuary that we're going to have to remove before it gets really dry and before we get into fire season. So that will take us a few months to get
ongoing.
Rid of that stuff.
Well, it's easy to donate. You can just go to wolfhaven.org, and there's a donate now button that you can click, and there's lots of different levels you can donate. You can make a very small donation. You can make a large donation that way. You can also become a member. You can adopt a wolf. And again, to get the word out too with your community as well. Well, it was wonderful. I am sorry about the circumstances that got you back on the show, Wendy, but it was wonderful to have you back and talk about the work that you do. And Darcy and I will have to get back down there sometime soon and see the guys and hopefully be sung to again, because
absolutely,
it was just wonderful. Again, the website is wolfhaven.org. You can find them online on Facebook as well. And if you've missed any part of this interview or any of our past over 160 shows, you can find us online at dogradioshow.com, and you can find us on Facebook as well, The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. live to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.